Good morning. My name is Nita O'Hearn. The reading today is 1 Corinthians 10, 13, Psalm 46, 1 through 2. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle or bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide you a way out so that you can endure it. Psalm 46, 1 through 2. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Hart. I'm the associate minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. And before I begin the sermon, I'm going to take a point of personal privilege because we need to celebrate something this morning, and that is the ordination of our very own Pastor Keith yesterday. If you did not see the pictures on Facebook, please go and see that. But I just want to share with you, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in the sermon, that the ordination process is quite lengthy, and sometimes it's more than we can handle. And that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. But many people ask, well, I thought he was already ordained. There are many phases to the process. And I shared with some people in the lobby last week, and I just want to share with everybody. If you think about it in a medical model, when somebody graduates from medical school, they become a resident. Full authority to be a doctor. They treat you. They have all the same rights as a doctor, but they're not fully on board yet. They haven't passed their boards. So that is what Keith has been working on. And this is the full process of ordination, and it's complete and it's finished. And we just want, you need to celebrate that. That is just a wonderful thing in his life. So today we are starting a new series, Things That We Say. My mom used to tell me, watch your mouth. You know, that's really almost, it is physically impossible to do unless you have a mirror, right? But what she was trying to tell me, she was trying to teach me that words matter. The things that we say matter. And they can hurt. There's the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. The truth is, bones heal. Words wound deeply, and sometimes those never heal. So adages, like sticks and stones, are those wise phrases that sound really good, and we have taken them to be general truths. We've heard them all of our life, so we've accepted them as truth. Things like, and you could probably fill in the blank on these, early to bed, early to rise. It is better to have loved and lost, better safe than what doesn't kill you. See, you know these, and we believe that these are true. And friends, there are some that we have believed are biblically founded. Things like, God never gives us more than we can handle, or the Lord helps those who help themselves. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Everything happens for a reason. They sound good, and there is elements of truth. But we have to make sure that the things that we say are full of truth. Amen? Not just partially true. So I'm going to ask you to join me this morning in prayer as I begin. Lord, may the meditations, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Today we are going to talk about God never gives you more than you can handle. Now, maybe in your heart you're groaning a little bit because maybe you have heard that at a time when it wasn't very helpful. We have all been, or we have seen someone going through something, and they seem to have more than their fair share of life's woes and struggles. And that's the last thing that they want to hear anybody say. A pastor was doing a series on this, and he received this email from a member of his congregation. And she said, if someone tells me one more time, I may lose it. First of all, God did not cause my husband to beat me. He didn't make my brother commit suicide. He did not plant the IED, which my nephew hit, which is going to result in him losing his leg. And he didn't give my friend cancer. I could go on, but you get the idea. And I know that all of us in here can relate to her response. We have all had those experiences in our life. I remember several years ago, Marilyn King and I were talking about, we felt like it was a death tsunami. It was one loss after another, and we just felt like we could not handle it. And friends, what we have all experienced in the last 2 years, there have been those moments where we've probably said, I can't handle it anymore. I can't take one more thing. We have a pandemic that doesn't seem to end. We've got mass shootings. We've got division in our nation, in our denomination. Lord, we just can't handle it. But don't worry, God won't give us more than we can handle. Right? So I want to start by taking a look at the scriptural foundation where I think this probably got its roots. And that is in what Nita read for us this morning in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's take a look at that again. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Friends, we're going to take this apart just a little bit because in order to understand the context of what Paul is saying here, we need to go back and look at the whole chapter of chapter 10. Amen. So we're going to start with the beginning here. And what Paul is talking about, he is addressing the Corinthians and comparing them to the Israelites wandering in the wilderness after the Exodus. And he says this, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock and that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ." They were hearing the word of God. They were experiencing God's power in their life. They were seeing all of these miracles and things happening. They were rescued from Egypt. The sea was parted. They saw all of this, and yet God was not pleased with some of them, with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Why? Because they were tempted. They fell into temptation, and Paul warns them, the Corinthians, and he warns us as he goes on. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did, as the Israelites did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That gets us to verse 10:13. It's all about temptation. And we are all subject to the temptations of this world, to the temptations of the evil one who comes into our life. No matter how devote, how much we hear the word, how much we study it, we are still subject to temptation. And that is what this scripture in 10:13 is talking about. So stand firm. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, to all of us. We are all subject to temptation. Not one of us is free from it. We stand firm in our faith so that we do not fall. And God is faithful. Here's where it gets twisted a little bit. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God's not the one sending the temptations into your life. That's of this world. And God is going to be with you. And he will, as verse 13 ends, it says, he will make a way out for you so that you can endure it. But over time, we have taken this concept of the temptations and made it all about hardship and struggle and the sorrows and the grief and put that all into this same thing. And that is where the truth has been warped a little bit. So let's take a look at that adage. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. First of all, God doesn't give us these temptations, these hardships, these heartaches. That's the consequence of our sinfulness. That's the consequences of other people's sin. That is the consequence of a broken, fallen world and natural disasters. Please do not tell me that tell a mother of a teenager who was killed by a drunk driver that God gave you that. Please don't say that the parents and the families and the community of Uvalde, Texas, God gave them that. God, that is inconsistent with what we know about God. That's what Jesus came to share with us, to teach us, to tell us that God is a God of love. God is the bringer of all good things into our life. He brings us good gifts, like a good, loving father. He gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We celebrated Pentecost last week. All of us have received the gift of the Holy Spirit if we have received Jesus into our life. That is God's dwelling within us always. God gives us the gifts of grace and hope and peace and love and joy. This broken, fallen world wants to tell you something different. And this world has its troubles. Jesus said that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the sun rises on the good and the evil. But all good and perfect gifts are from God. He doesn't give us the hardship. Second part of this, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. I feel like doing my worst Jack Nicholson impersonation right now. You can't handle the truth. Friends, we can't handle it. That's the falsehood of this statement. We can't handle the things that fall into our life sometimes. Evidence of this, the World Health Organization came out with a report in May of 2022 that shared how depression and anxiety has increased 25% in the last 2 years. We can't handle it. I talked a little bit about the ordination process. My process was 10 years long from the very beginning to when I was fully ordained. And it was smooth sailing up until I got to that place of I was in the residency program, and it took me 3 times to pass the board for various reasons. And I can remember the year that I, before I was ordained, and I went for my interview, and that was the year my mom died. Now, also that year, back in 2014, Pastor Dave took a leave of absence for 6 weeks. I was going to preach for 6 weeks, be in charge of the church. He trusted me with that responsibility. And if you've never been around this church during the week, it's not just about preaching on a Sunday morning. This is a busy place. And there's a lot of stress, a lot of leadership things and things going on. But also in the meantime, my mom's health was declining. And mom was in an assisted living facility, and she, her dementia was getting worse. She escaped a couple of times, and I was her medical healthcare surrogate, so I was having to be very involved in all of that. And one day she had a fall and had an open wound. She was a diabetic, a double amputee, and so the wound was not healing. And they recommended, because she was under hospice care, they recommended that she go to the hospice house for some wound care. Okay, sounds good. And when she got there, the doctor surprised me by saying, "Your mom's systems are failing, and you need to be prepared that she will not leave." That was certainly not what I expected. And I was in the process of writing my paperwork for my final ordination, leading the church, having to do sermons every 6 weeks, and I remember going, "God, I can't take one more thing." And I remember a loving, dear, well-intended person saying to me, "Kathy, you're a strong person. God won't give you any more than you can handle." Friends, what witness is that to a God who's just going to keep dumping on you all the time? That's not a loving God, right? But I will say that during that 6 weeks that Pastor Dave was gone, mom did pass. And this body, this community of faith, showed up in a way that I could never have expected. People walked alongside me. They said, "Kathy, let go of the church. We've got this. You go take care of your family. It's okay for you not to be strong." See, I thought I had to have it all under control. I had the plan. It was all handled. I can do this. The problem in that statement, or the wrong word in that statement, was I can't do it. I shouldn't have to do it all. I isolate myself when I say that. And friends, I know so many of you do the same thing. We've been taught that. We have to be strong. We have to take charge. We have to do it. The world tells us, be strong, suck it up, move on. I'm going to tell you, you can't handle things on your own. And that's okay. Amen? Don't feel like you have to go this world alone. Remember I said the Holy Spirit, one of the great gifts that God has given us, is in you. It's not about God won't give you more than you can handle. This is where I like the end of 13 a little bit, because it says he will make a way out and help you endure it so you can bear it. That is a truth statement. God is with you through it all, no matter what it is that you face. It is not his plan for us to go through this life alone and try and handle things all by ourselves. God showed up for me, and I know he's shown up for you through this body of Christ. And he has a plan that he wants us to rely on each other. You know, we just finished the Domino Effect series. And domino number 2, I don't know if you remember, was Christ in you. And domino number 3 was Christ in us. It is together that we handle things. With the power of the Holy Spirit and with God's help, We are not alone. In this world, we will have trouble, and it's okay to say, I can't handle it. In fact, friends, that's what God is waiting for you to say. Paul goes on to talk to the Corinthians about this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He talks about how his grace is sufficient for our needs. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. I want you to just take a minute and think how countercultural that statement is. My power is made perfect in weakness, so I will boast in my weakness. That is so counterintuitive to what we have learned in our world. Be strong. Stand tall. You can do it. Let it go. Set it down. That is so self-reliant and not God-reliant. God wants you to bring your struggles, to bring your hardships, to bring your I can't take it anymore to him. That's when he shows up in a mighty, powerful way. So instead of God can't give us more than we can handle, let's think about what God does give us. He gives us Jesus. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Psalm 46, 1 and 2, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Back in verse 1, there are three very powerful words that I want you to focus on. The first one is refuge. God is our refuge. Think for a minute when you think of the word refuge. We connect it to refugees, and we know that there are many from Ukraine refugees, and there are many refugees from all over the world. What is it that they are looking for? They are looking for a safe place where they can trust. God is our refuge. He is trustworthy. He is safe. We can run to him in our time of trouble. The second word, strength. God is our refuge and our strength. It is not by my strength, but by God's strength that we are able to handle anything. Have you ever been faced with something where you were just so anxious about whatever it is, and you worried about if you could get through it, and then once you've gotten through it, you look back and you go, wow, how did I do that? Wasn't by my strength, but by God's strength. And when we realize that, when we let go, friends, when we stop being the control freaks that we are, and we let go and we let God lead, life is much simpler. God is our refuge. He is our strength. The third word is help. All of that impacted in one little verse. God is our refuge, our strength, and our help in trouble. He is going to bring whatever it is that you need, a person to walk alongside you, the right doctor or the right nurse to give you the care that you need. Sometimes it's just the wisdom of his word that he'll lead you to give you that help. But God works through others. He works through his Spirit to provide this help and strength and refuge for us. So it's not about us handling anything. It's all God. I want to share a story of a woman named Annie Johnson Flint. Annie was born on Christmas Eve in 1866. At age 3, she lost her mom. And soon after that, her father became ill, and so he had to give her up for adoption. Annie wound up with 2 loving, wonderful adoptive parents. But before she graduated from high school, she lost both of her adopted parents. Annie had a dream to be a teacher. And so she worked very hard, went through school, and she was a teacher for a few years. And then she developed a degenerative disease that prevented her from being able to continue. She was unable to walk or care for herself. And so she turned to writing poetry. And she wrote beautiful poems. But then the disease took over her hands. They swelled and became so painful she could no longer write. So then she started dictating them to someone else. One of the poems that she wrote is called God Have Not Promised. God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. God won't give you more than you can handle. God will give you everything that you need to be able to handle. We face these times in our lives where we think we can't go on. We say, I can't handle it. Instead of focusing on what God gives you in the negative, focus on what he gives you in the positive. He gives you refuge, strength, hope, help, peace, grace, love, and he will give you a way through whatever it is that we're facing. When I was in college, my mom would always send me a care package. And one of the very first ones that she gave me when I was a freshman had a little plaque in it. And it had a different spin to the God won't give you more than you can handle. So I want to close with this. It says, Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that you and I together can't handle. Will you say that with me? Lord, help me remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that you and I together can't handle. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are the bringer of all good things into our lives. You are the giver of every good gift. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you are our refuge, our strength, and our help. May we stop, God, trying to do it all by ourselves. May we lean upon you, call upon you, surrender to you, and let your power be made perfect in our weakness. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.